This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Victor Wembanyama.
The Rich Eisen Show.
It's a 40-point game.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We will have a quarterback on Sunday. I will tell you that.
Today's guests. Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. ESPN NBA senior writer Brian Windhorst. Senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Diana Rossini. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on a Thursday in Los Angeles, California. Thrilled to be here on Disney Plus, as always. Same thing with the ESPN app, where you can get anything, ESPN everywhere. And then there's ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Boy, is there a lot to talk about in this world today. Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the second overall team in the AFC, currently number two in the AFC, atop the AFC East. The head coach of the Patriots is joining this program.
I'm just going to keep clapping for the
until you're on camera. Yeah, there you go.
Hey. Very good.
Chris Brockman's clapping. Brian Windhorst of ESPN, lots to talk about with him. And then in hour number three, Diana Rossini of The Athletic, give us some information on what's going on in the National Football League as week eight begins tonight, just up the road. If honestly, you hang a right, and then you go down the 105 freeway. The speed limit, the 105 freeway, known for the movie Speed. It's been completed since then, by the way. Yeah. Then you hang a left, and then you're at SoFi Stadium, where week eight begins between the Chargers and the Vikings. We'll discuss that on this program again. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. What's up, man?
Chris Brockman back from hanging in Disneyland.
Yes,
good to see
sir.
You. DJ Mike,
good morning,
and D's
Rich.
And D's Nuts. TJ Jefferson, candles lit. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good. They say aliens don't exist, but I saw a guy in San Antonio that plays for the Spurs that makes me wonder otherwise.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. And we would have talked about Victor Wembanyama off the jump if the FBI didn't knock on the doors of Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier today and arrest them.
What the hell?
and Chauncey Billups is the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, by the way. Terry Rozier was a DNP CD, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
In the Miami Heat opener against the Orlando Magic. And lots afoot as Terry Rozier was charged in a gambling investigation. And he was arrested and taken in for what appears to be, and again, we're just all learning what this is all about. But it appears to be that Terry Rozier is being accused by the FBI of doing something that the NBA cleared him of in an investigation back in 2023, where he leaves a game 9 minutes in due to a foot injury, and they noticed a lot of intensity on Terry Rozier's over-under points total that night. And Terry left the game with a foot injury. And the NBA apparently looked into it and said there's no there. And the FBI's like, well, listen, we think there is.
Not so fast.
And there is apparently a lot to back up their reason for knocking on Terry's door and taking him into custody. And then, you know, for Chauncey Billups, it appears he's not involved in any gambling issues related to the NBA or any game action or anything like that, which is a relief. Can you imagine a head coach involved in that sort of thing?
Dude.
But you have to ask that question again of what the FBI says Chauncey Billups was part of, which is an illegal gambit to basically cheat and rip off some folks at a poker table. And that he was one of the people that were used by this gambling ring to bring people to the poker table where they would be cheated. using various methods of technology involving automatic shuffle machines and contact lenses that could see through cards.
Like James Bond.
And these people were apparently, according to the FBI, brought to the poker table to say, hey, how'd you like to play poker with some famous athletes? And one of them was Chauncey Billups. Now, this apparently has been going on for 4 years, this investigation, according to the FBI.
That's right.
And Chauncey Billups has been the head coach of the Trailblazers for the last 4 years. I'm just trying to put everything together and want to be very careful of what I say, because I'm still reading documents and still reading what's going on. But it's shocking. It's shocking. And obviously it is eye-opening that the FBI is knocking on the doors of the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers and taking him into custody. And the same thing of Terry Rozier. I guess they found him at a hotel room?
Yeah.
Florida. Right?
Yeah.
Because he's on the road right now for the Miami Heat? Or so it is quite surprising, to say the least. And, you know, last night, the Trailblazers, I mean, Chauncey Billups was on the bench coaching and losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves by 4. Goes home and gets a knock on the door. Now I have no idea what's coming up next. But this is, you know, the nightmare of any commissioner of any sport, that what you're seeing isn't on the up and up. Or a head coach of the league is doing something that's not on the up and up outside of that, that could potentially, because according to the authorities, this poker ring involved some figures in the mafia. And if you get hooks into you that way, what else are you susceptible of, and what are you doing? And if I'm sitting at home and I'm wondering, you know, do I get the league pass or not? And somebody might be sitting at home going, why would I do that? If this is the sort of stuff that's going on in the league. And that's the nightmare again, that you're wondering who else could be doing it, and what am I seeing that is potentially not on the up and up. So we'll find out what exactly is going on and report it to you as we know it. And Brian Windhorst is going to join us later on in the on the program on that front. But I mean, if all of this is true, I have no idea how, one, Terry Rozier has a future in the NBA, or two, the NBA would clear him. What did the FBI find out that the NBA did not?
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you, if this is true of Chauncey Billups, how does he remain head coach of the Portland Trailblazers? Which could be like the least of his problems on top of it. But everyone is innocent until proven guilty, and we will find out what happens and report it to you. And again, Brian Windhorst joins us in hour number 2 of this program. Shocking development, that is for sure. And, you know, I will just say this, as we just unpacked the surprising news, shocking news, jarring news, very dramatic, that a head coach of an NBA team and a player of note of an NBA team is arrested in 2 separate gambling investigations by the federal authorities. I will do the NBA a solid, and at the same time, talk about what I saw last night, which is, again, when we first heard of the existence of Victor Wembanyama, remember when the videos first came out of him? Like, from France.
He's like 15, 16 years old.
And you're like, who is this individual, and how is that a real human being on the planet? Of how tall he is and what he could do with the basketball.
But it was him shooting threes, you know, like 25 footers, right? And he's 7'3".
Well, in last year, an injury marred second year for him. The guy I saw last night in Dallas was like, okay, yeah, Cooper Flagg, nice career you had there at Duke, and I know this is your coming out party here, but I've got 40 and 15 to drop on you with not a single turnover.
It looked like an easy 40 and 15.
I didn't realize he didn't have a turnover.
Not a single turnover. And doing it in every way, shape, or form, whether it was backing down Anthony Davis or fronting Anthony Davis.
This is Anthony
and
getting Davis, Rich.
And one like defensive all-world guy when he gets his orange jacket one day. We'll talk about how he could do it on offense and defense. And Wembanyama, who still looks like he could use a few pounds, despite also, looking like he's bulked up compared to the guy that we saw.
Shredded, man.
And that he is shooting threes, and he is backing you down, and he is also dribbling on the perimeter through his legs to try and break you down like he's Allen freaking Iverson. And then getting an and one and running the floor and dunking on you that way and playing defense. Holy smokes.
Man, this dude's a problem, man. He is a real problem.
If he stays healthy, I can't compare it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, listen, we always talk about Ohtani in baseball, mm-hmm. doing things that you just never see another human being do in that sport.
The unicorn.
I mean, somebody this big, this tall, with the ball handling skills and the shooting skills, he's putting it off the glass also in a very easy manner. That does that look like sometimes when he puts it off the glass in that uniform, like he's the big fundamental? You know what I mean? Like,
big fundamental.
Honestly,
big fundamental.
What we saw last night from Victor Wembanyama was as eye-opening as it gets. And I understand he's done this before, but it's the most points scored in a season opener by a Spurs player ever. 40 and 15, and it looked easy, as you pointed out.
Pretty easy. Yeah, it looked pretty easy. He shot, 75% from the floor? He missed six shots.
Like, he was unstoppable.
The clip that I keep seeing is that he's bringing the ball up the court, goes between his legs a few times.
On Anthony Davis.
And then does a step back three and one. You're like,
yeah, like what are you supposed to do?
It's the first game of the season. This guy's locked down. It's over.
Serving you notice that he's as dominant as they can come. Last night is exactly what we were wondering if this kid could be on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
See
it's just game one. I know this is not an overreaction league here.
I'm not saying he's going to average 40 a night, but
Giannis was the last player to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. That's what Wemby's going to do this
season.
Well,
Shea has the better odds right now. I know I shouldn't be using odds on a day like this.
You getting caught up in nothing, bro.
Let's say Shea's a favorite right now. Wemby is now second. Jokic basically have the same odds, and Luke is fifth.
And in the same regard, let's just say this. Congratulations to you on having the Rookie of the Year play for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Let me tell you something. I heard the rumors. I heard the rumblings. Turns out it might be right. VJ is a problem.
Edgecombe, sir.
Edgecombe, yes, sir.
He has the edge.
So the Sixers finally got a draft pick. Right. They finally nailed it.
Tyrese Maxey is pretty damn good, too, on that front. Come on now.
Sorry, a third overall
if
pick.
If the veterans are healthy, then look out. Exactly. But it looked like Embiid couldn't jump last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's his first game back. He only played one preseason game. He didn't look great, but you know, we'll see.
But Edgecombe doing things that
have never been done.
Well, I mean, he had 14 first quarter points. First quarter of his NBA career, he had 14. That's two better than LeBron's record for most points in a first quarter by a rookie in his first game. Points in NBA debut since Wilt. In 59. So Wilt and LeBron were names invoked by VJ Edgecombe last night. And again, this is the sort of stuff, obviously, the NBA would want to be talked about, other than I'm looking at our friends and colleagues right now. It's all about learning what's in these FBI documents and the illegal gambling probe that you're seeing Chauncey Billups' name involved in, and you're hearing what Terry Rozier did. And unfortunately for Chauncey, people are going to think he was involved in the same thing on the court. Instead, again, it was at a poker table in a poker ring in which he was used as the bait for Marks to come in and get cheated at the table. And we will find out how he pleads and what is going on. But for the moment, if that wasn't happening, that's a big if. Wembanyama showing up and showing out like he did last night. And your guy, Vijay Edgecombe, that would be all we're talking about.
Right.
Which we did for the last few minutes.
So, yeah, it comes as no surprise. Shams reporting now that Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier have been placed on immediate leave by the NBA.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Whew. Immediate leave. Yeah, like you are no longer coaching the Blazers until we find out more. And then the first phone call I'm making, if I'm Adam Silver, is to the people in the organization who cleared Terry Rozier of doing exactly what the FBI took him into custody for. So, and more is going to come out, and it's not going to look good for either of these individuals who are involved, or any of them, I imagine. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Disney Plus and ESPN app everywhere feed, and also on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep your career moving forward. Visit careers.progressive.com. This entire first hour is for us, so give us a call, 844-204-RICH, number to dial if you want to have a conversation. We appreciate that. Lots of NFL to discuss. Aaron Rodgers says it's not a revenge game.
Sure.
Move on.
Here, coach.
So Sean Payton says, I wasn't referring to Russell Wilson.
I mean, sure.
Justin Fields is like, I didn't hear what Woody Johnson had to say. It's what he had to say.
Is it lying Thursday?
Richard Nixon once said, I am not a crook.
I'll tell you which one of the three that I believe the most. Okay.
Oh, start bench cut. Who do we think is being truthful?
Well, when we come back, how about we'll hit on as many of them as we possibly can. John Harbaugh has no information on Lamar Jackson. Which one do you believe the most? Oh, it's a higher register Thursday as well.
They're all telling the truth?
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're on the simulcast on Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere, as well as ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's a what's more likely, it's a higher register Thursday. Friday's our what's more likely show. We'll do our higher registers later on, but we just kind of stumbled on something going
to
break.
We did.
Was it Lying Thursday? Is what you were saying?
Yeah, Lying Thursday. Yeah, Lying
Thursday. It's not a lie. if you believe it.
All right, first up, even though we said it on a Wednesday, everybody that we're playing, the sound bites were said on Wednesday, but we're talking about it on a Thursday program in the National Football League.
Not to be confused with Lying Season, which correlates with the NFL draft.
Well, it's every day.
And free agency.
It's every day. Well, you could just say in sports in general, it's Lying Day every day. Yeah. You know, until people say something you know, completely unvarnished, and then you get crap for it. Like, wow, you actually said that. Aaron Rodgers says it's not a revenge game on Sunday night when the Packers stroll into Acrisure on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Our friends at NBC are going to have that big game. What a piece of filet mignon that is. I mean, you have to think about it. Coming into this season, the fight that all television partners would have for some big games. If you put a list of the games that are possibles, which one would you want to have? This is up there, isn't it? Like with the with the Eagles Chiefs rematch of the Super Bowl, that's up there.
Good one. Bills Chiefs,
right? And the Commanders and Eagles coming into the season was the NFC Championship game. You'd want one of those, right?
Yep. Dallas against anybody?
Well, Dallas against the Chiefs. They put that on, as you know, on Thanksgiving. That's not a bad one going into the season.
I mean, after the Micah trade, you know, Dallas.
But coming into the season, you'd have to say Rodgers taking on the Packers. That's a good piece of filet mignon in it. But, I guess Rodgers is saying the piece of filet mignon is not served on a cold dish. Hit it.
I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there, but, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization. And this is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and thankful for my time there. Obviously, would have loved to right off in the sunset after a Super Bowl win, but that's not the way the league goes sometimes. And, you know, I knew the writing was on the wall when Jordan was picked. And as a matter of time, I happened to win MVP the first 2 years he was with us. But I knew at some point there would be a change, and if I wanted to play, I'd probably have to be elsewhere. So I understand the situation. You know, we live and we learn, and I have nothing but love and appreciation for the fan base, for the city of Green Bay, for the city of Swamico and Hobart, where I lived for so many years. I'm excited to see a lot of those people.
All right. I believe him. No. I believe him. I believe him in that he has no animosity towards the organization, that he loves the fans, loves the area, loves. He was excited to see some people, that he still has relationships with people.
Yeah, I believe all that.
Right. Hold on a second. But what I heard was, this is not a revenge game, but potentially when he learned that Jordan Love had been drafted.
He had a couple of revenge seasons.
It was revenge. The revenge games were him playing for the Packers to be the MVP of the Packers and the National Football League, by the way, twice.
Two times.
In a row.
Utah. Give me two.
That's what the revenge games have already been played.
Yeah.
When he was on the Packers. For the Packers. It's a Gutekunst revenge game. I mean, that's basically.
Sure.
Like, if I had to read between the lines right there.
I think,
you know, the GM who started the clock of his departure, leading to the fact that in the NFL, you can't just right off from the sunset play for the same team and win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
You know, that's just the way it goes. And he has now had years. It's amazing how playing for the Jets can change your perspective on life. Wait a minute. Big took place in New Jersey, right? Didn't it?
Big
took place. Like, the machine.
Zoltar was in Coney Island. It was.
It wasn't in Atlantic
City.
Island,
I believe, that little pier where they shot.
Well, I'm not saying where they shot it. I'm talking about where the movie.
Cliffside Park.
Okay, you're right.
All right. Yeah. I'm just wondering. Because I was just wondering if the kid that they found in New Jersey was actually Aaron Rodgers is, you know, in Big. Like, he became a kid again and he strolled up.
I hate this team.
That's what he was talking about. Yeah. I'm just trying to connect dots. I'm obviously straining to do so. Didn't work out. But I kind of believe that with Rodgers, right? I kind of went a little high register right there. There may be one or two people that he will be thinking of and pointing out in their suites somewhere, you know, up in one of the booths that they're watching the game from. And I watched him go up to LaFleur at the NFL Honors show that he won here in L.A., the MVP award, I think his final time here. I forget what the exact order of things. He won in the COVID year, and then the following year he won it as well. So anyway, he and LaFleur were hugging it out just when you thought that maybe he wasn't a fan of the Packers or him anymore. I kind of believe it. I'll take that.
Ooh. Yeah, that was honors here in L.A.
Yeah. I think that was a truthful response. Now moving on to another individual that Chris Brockman, you said before, you don't know if you believe it or not.
Well, yeah. Jury's out.
Sean Payton.
Oh.
Sean Payton, as we all know, was talking about how he, after the game, after the win over the Giants, that unbelievable W, what, over 1,600 teams had as large a lead as the Giants had halfway through the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL, and they were all undefeated until last week. He mentioned how he talked to John Mara, one of the owners of the Giants, and obviously Sean Payton goes way back in the day with him because Payton is an old Giants assistant on the Parcells staff. But anyway, he said he told John Mara, you know, he couldn't wait to move to Dart until after our game, huh? You know, because he thought they've caught a little something with this quarterback, which is true. Russell Wilson then clapped back, a very rare Russell clapback on Twitter, saying that called him a classless act.
Classless.
Here we go.
And then brought up classless. Bounty Gate.
He did.
And I thought Sean Payton would be somewhere going, okay, I see you, Russ. I gave that game I did not know you had.
Yeah, just kind of.
But I recognize it.
Wink and a nod.
That might have been private. Public, a different story. This is what Sean Payton had to say when the Russ clap back was brought up to him on Wednesday.
I'm sure you saw Russell.
I did. Look, and the euphoria, the way that game unfolded, that was strictly about Dart. I mean, and I that was in no way, shape, or form anything that was directed at Russ. So, and I might be able to see how he might perceive that, but coming off that win and watching how he played, that wasn't any intention at all.
What is that?
The truth. That was a drop that we had made.
I don't understand exactly.
She'll set you free.
That's from Liar Liar, the movie with Jim Carrey.
Okay. I didn't understand a word of it.
Look, Sean Payton, we all know, has an edge to him, and I'm sure that he was taking a slight dig at Russ and is just putting on a nice public face. I don't believe him.
You don't believe him?
No.
I believe he was telling the truth to Mara, that to Mara he might have been referring to Russ. How does that not refer to Russ?
Exactly. That's
but
what I mean.
Think when he was sharing it, he kind of lost that might be taken that way, right, by the rest of the world. So I kind of think that when he might have said it privately to Mara, he was admitting, couldn't stick with the guy. I made the worst, biggest dead cap cut in the history of the National Football League.
Right.
Couldn't stick with him. You had to go to the kid and get a breath of fresh air just in time for us. You know? I think he's shared it without thinking that could be taken by Russ poorly.
Right.
What do you think, TJ?
I remember last year, two years ago when Russ was still in the Broncos, there was a point where Sean kind of dressed him down.
And I was against Detroit on a Saturday on NFL Network.
In a way I'd never seen, maybe since Parcells, go after a quarterback like that.
Yes.
And that really took me back. And so I was like, it's obvious. That's a level of disdain.
He does not like Russ.
So, well, I think a lot of people in the Denver area feel that way. Didn't Schlereth take the four snap sequence against the Chiefs that wound up causing Daboll to turn to Dart, that four snap sequence where all he had to do is throw it in the end zone and risk an interception and see what flies, and instead he threw it so far up the tunnel that it was
He called it selfish.
Right. He called it selfish that he thought that Russ didn't want to have an interception on his docket.
One thing
that,
we
and
know
I'm
about
just wondering that the Denver people just have and he's and Russ must know it.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah, I mean,
just to be honest,
it is kind of wild because Russ takes, in my opinion, far too much criticism from people. And it's just, it was kind of nice just to see him say something, man. People talk, trash talk that man so much. And it's, in my opinion, pretty disrespectful talk, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to kind of see him go at least, you know, say, give a big a letter that comes after D&E to you, to someone talking.
He turns the cheek a lot.
Yeah.
And this time around, he showed the bird, if you will, on.
And even at that, he didn't really go that hard at it, but it was just nice to hear him say something.
Yeah, he even put like the laughing emoji after, like, oh, ha, ha, well, we're all friends.
It was hashtag let's ride, which is the Broncos old Broncos country.
That's right.
All right. Last one for you. Justin Fields, the target of an ownership quote that is just as rare as it gets. You know, not even Dolan calls out Knicks this way.
By the way, there was a shot of him in the stands yesterday, just sitting there like this.
Oh, well, Dolan?
He always sits like that. I know, but it was just like you were winning the game, and it was just like.
Be happy.
He's, that guy can't be happy.
I mean, Knicks hysteria is at an all-time high.
Guys, I was just making a reference. I wasn't creating the wormhole. I'm not going to Knicks one. Let's everybody back off.
Well, look, we just figure whenever we hear that name, we're trained like Pavlov's dog to attack.
Mike Brown got to meet Spike. I couldn't believe Spike knew who I was, essentially. You know, it's like, you know who I am.
Fat Joe was courtside.
Leave that alone.
They won with Fat Joe?
Leave it alone, guys. Leave it alone.
I'm like the Yankees.
I'm just saying Dolan doesn't. I mean, not even Dolan has called out Knicks like this. Like, hey, man. If our center keeps shooting like this, all you got to do is just complete a pass. And we'd be better. You know what I mean? I mean, any coach will look this way if the best player or most important player just stinks on ice. I mean, literally, Woody didn't say that, but that was 100% the implication. Hey, Justin Fields, you know, 0-7, reason why the coach looks as bad as he looks is because the offense just can't do a damn thing. So Justin Fields now, he had his media availability on Wednesday and had this to say.
Nah, I wasn't. Like I said, I'm not on social media. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't. You know, of course, everybody knows, you know, I need to play better. We need to play better as a team. And of course, you know, no matter how, you know, the offense does as a unit, you know, I'm going to get the blame, and I understand that. That's just what comes with the job. But honestly, it's what comes with it. So you can't let anything kind of affect your mind, my mind. And that's what it is. No matter if it's, you know, him, no matter if it's, you know, family members, even teammates, sometimes you're going to be, there's going to be times where you have to be the only one who believes in yourself. So, you know, like I said, that's his opinion. And like I told you guys after the game on Sunday, I'm at peace. And all I'm focused is right now is working each and every day and getting better.
Said he hadn't heard it. He told us, by the way, that he removed all social media from his phone.
Smart.
He told us that during the pre-broadcast Jets Broncos in the meeting.
Smart. Good move.
He said he's off it. He says he knows nothing about what's going on. But obviously, hey, did you hear what the man whose name is on the checks said about you?
Yeah, one of his friends told him about it without question, right?
Well, I mean, you had to hear about it. Jerry Jones doesn't do that, and he has a microphone in front of his face.
24/7.
Right. He's never called out a Cowboy in the way Woody Johnson just called out his quarterback.
No. Yeah, but he's done a lot of talking.
But has he ever once...
I can't say
the most loquacious owner in sports,
Macca.
That wasn't really him, though.
But him talking about how Micah's got, like, I mean, Stephen Jones is saying how Micah wants to get paid, or he's got to want to get paid. And all the stuff he was saying about Micah was walking up to this line that Woody's crossed. So believe it or not, if you don't believe Justin Fields that he hadn't heard it, it's that he'd remove, he's off his phone.
Good
idea. He says he's happier for it.
Yeah, you got off of X, you feel better, right?
Huh?
You got off of Twitter X, you feel better, right?
I love it.
What's going to help him complete a pass? Maybe putting the social media back on will help him complete some passes.
Because you're saying pull a Costanza? Do the opposite?
Yeah, do the opposite.
The guy who was playing against the Steelers in week one, that's what you need.
Yeah, they need that guy back.
But they also need Garrett Wilson. They need, listen, they're taking on a Bengals team that just beat the Steelers, and Flacco's feeling great about himself. And this is a massive problem for them this week. And this is what the Jets are talking about right now. I mean, you're staring 0-8, losing half of your schedule right in the face to start. And then you got to bye. You got the Browns, and then you got a Patriots team that by week 11 should be ready to just absolutely embarrass them on Thursday Night Football before you visit Baltimore, where by that point in time, Lamar should be back, if he's not even back this week. Problems. But end of story. End of story. That I mean, Fields, crazy things have happened. Like, Bryce Young gets benched last year, and everyone's like, you got to trade him. He's finished. I just don't know how you come back from... The only way you can come back from an owner calling you out like that, the person who signed your checks calling you out like that, the only way you can come back is if it is an individual who's off his phone and doesn't hear what the rest of the world says and can actually drown it out.
Yeah.
But at the bottom line, though, is part of the reason... He's part of the reason why the Jets are 0-7, if not significantly a reason why the Jets are 0-7. And some poor kid in New Jersey is
I hate this team.
Becoming viral.
I mean,
to rob youth of joy. Hope and joy.
I hate this team.
Oh, this poor guy.
Poor kid.
844-204. So which one? I guess we all just knew it. Did I nuance it or what?
Well, yes.
I nuanced it out of existence.
You were not as fun as I wanted this segment to be.
But I'm not saying Rodgers is lying. Rodgers is not lying. He's not lying. And Sean Payton, you know, I think just forgot himself. Like, I'll share what I told John Mara, even though, you know, now that that's public, Russ is, I mean, honestly... This is how poorly that joke landed. Is it caused Russ to clap back? How bad does it have to get?
Yeah.
Even in Seattle and all that stuff, he never clapped back. He didn't clap back at Richard Sherman.
No.
He didn't clap back at Future, Richard Sherman.
I mean, Richard Sherman called him out way worse.
Fat Rob Lowe, he never clapped back at him.
Than Sean Payton this year, right?
Fat Rob Lowe, remember that?
You know?
I guess he doesn't.
No, I do. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Don't go anywhere. Your phone calls before Mike Vrabel and Brian Windhorst join us.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
The Sonos sound system. It is awesome. Susan and I have it in our house. You should check it out as well. You could zone it up. What do I mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Kitchen's a zone.
Oh.
Dining room's a zone.
Bedroom?
Bathroom?
If you will.
Garage.
It could be exactly that. Any room in your house, zone it up so you can listen to different things in different rooms. Trust me, if you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're watching a game, with the speakers, it makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Setup is easy. Plug it in, open the Sonos app, you're ready to go. And if you want stadium quality sound at home just like me, explore their soundbars, speakers. Use their headset on flight home. It's amazing. Check it out, Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Noah in Portland, Oregon, where obviously a lot is resonating. Hey, what's up, Noah? What's up?
Well, lost our home opener, and then possibly our coach.
Well, I don't think possibly. You have for the time being, and I don't know. Hopefully, he is wrongly accused. If that happens, and somehow he can get through this for anybody who's been a fan of Chauncey Billups, Noah.
I hope so. Real quick, shout out to Anna. And have any of you guys been to Portland, Oregon? Because we're getting a lot of static right now.
I'm aware of that. And I have been to Portland.
Love Portland.
It's a lovely town. Yep. It is an awesome town. And everyone should go visit it. because it is filled with terrific people.
I was just going to ask you guys to say something nice about it, and you did.
Brother, I've been there, and I loved every second of it. Same. So, and I wish you, nothing but the best. Everybody there in Portland.
We're going to get it.
I love it.
All right, guys, I appreciate you.
Thank you, Noah.
I came late to the show, and I'll keep this quick. I know we're popping up on the hour here.
Okay.
I came late to the game. I've only known about your guys' show for like 2 years, and I'm pretty hard up to miss an episode. It's so surreal to hear you guys every day and then to be able to talk to you guys. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Noah. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, normally we'll just turn our back on somebody like you, but you seem very nice, and I appreciate it. Call back, Noah. Thank you very much for saying that.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you guys.
I mean, we were on Thanks for John, 9 years before Noah found
Look, he had a lot of options, though. Yeah. He had a lot of choices.
Maybe he was busy.
Noah was collecting shows by twos.
Yeah.
Do you like that? You don't really like that. I don't think you appreciate it.
I don't think he gets
again,
it.
Again, Rich, what I like most about you are timely, current references.
What's more timely?
In your defense, that reference can never really go out. Excuse me. Nothing like a
2,000-year-old reference.
Excuse me.
When was Noah's Ark?
Now you're looking it up. Wow.
Now I got to turn my back.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. 2300 BC.
It was in black and white.
Excuse me. It's a 4,500-year reference.
I call it timeless. It's timeless.
Rich.
It's a story as old as Noah.
I get all your jokes.
I appreciate that.
The flood began when Noah was 600 years old.
Okay.
What is it, Yoda?
All right. I get your point.
Make the
Mossab in Chicago, Illinois. Did I say your name correctly, sir?
Yes, he did.
What's going on?
What's up, Rich?
How are you?
Good. I mean, I could be doing better. The Bears are on a four-game winning streak.
That's true.
And,
what's wrong with
that? I just hear constant disrespect in the media.
Oh, my word.
Constant.
I predicted this winning streak for you.
Rich, everybody before the season started knew Caleb needed time to fit in the system, get used to the play calls, and everything like that. And it was agreed upon across the media that by Thanksgiving, that's when he should be clicking and everything like that. So far, he hasn't played terrible. I'm not saying he's played great, but so far he hasn't played terrible, and we're winning, right? The rest of the team is clicking and everything like that. We're just waiting on Caleb to get there, right? But everybody is like, oh, my God, Caleb looks so bad, all this, all that. But then when he beats the Cowboys, right, and Jordan Love ends in a tie, everybody wants to jump on Caleb. You're not playing good. And then he beats the Commanders, and everybody wants to talk about when penalties are so bad and blah, blah, blah. But then when the Bears get screwed over, that game should have been done in the third quarter.
Okay.
The Bears should have had that wrapped up in the third quarter.
Yes.
And everybody who's watched that game knows it.
Let me ask you. I've got to jump in here and ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Do you feel better?
I feel a lot better getting this off my chest.
Okay, good. That's what we're here for. We're here to make people feel better.
No doubt.
I want you to really honestly agree with me because I feel like what I'm saying is legit.
Oh, I didn't say what you're saying is illegit, but I will tell you this, at the Ravens, let's go. I mean, the Ravens are 1-5. The Ravens are 1-5.
Listen,
Lamar may be hobbled. Right. He may be half a Lamar. He may be a La. Let's go.
If the Bears lose, I don't mind, but as long as Caleb kind of matches the play of Lamar.
Yes, you are playing the long game, and I appreciate that. And
exactly.
Call back, sir.
Can I make one extra comment?
Well, you got 10 seconds before you're cut off is the problem. Hold on a second.
We'll do the most overrated player in the NFL.
Keep going.
I said overrated. I didn't say bad. I said overrated.
Mossab in Chicago.
I like that level of pettiness.
Oh, he just got that in right before the hard out.
Bam.
He went hard in before he went hard out. Mike Vrabel's coming out to kick off hour number two here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.